have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite podcast. Yes, that's right. It's Making Marriage Meaningful with your host, Apostle Irvin and Apostle Felicia Whitlow.
Podcast.
Meaningful with your host, Apostle Irvin and Apostle Felicia Whitlow.
So the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. What an honor and a privilege it is to join you again for your favorite podcast, Marriage Meaningful. God bless you, one. God bless you all. I am your host, Dr. Irvin, and my wonderful wife and assistant is
Apostle B.
And we are so elated to be right here with you on Making Marriage Meaningful. And we are looking forward to our discussion tonight. We just simply want to make this announcement. Neither myself or my wife will claim to be a relationship expert. We just share things based upon experiences that we have encountered, some failed things, some up and down things, some good things, you know, and here we are able to tell God thank you for what we have encountered, what we have learned through the experiences. So thank God for that. Now, I want to tell you in the words of my wife that this podcast is unscripted.
Hello.
You're liable to hear anything around here.
And will.
Because we tell the truth and we shame the devil.
Hello.
So I wanted you to know that this podcast is real.
It is.
Nothing fake about it.
It
is raw. Yeah. We don't sugarcoat.
Not at all.
It is the butt naked of truth.
Wait a minute. You got to put a pants on.
Well, wear bib one. And then this is very much relevant. You will be able to identify with things that we share with you because we share not just based upon the word of God, but we have the tendency to be transparent and to let you know things that we have encountered. Again, things that have worked, things that haven't worked, but things that will help make a difference.
Yes.
That's what we're here for. That's what we do.
Hello, somebody.
So we need you to call your friend. Call your boo. Let them know Making Marriage Meaningful is on the air. Well, let me say this. We don't do all this talking by ourselves.
No, we don't.
We've got some wonderful people who join this panel every week. And I'm trying to tell you, they come and they share some good stuff with us to help us not only in our marriage, but hopefully to help you with yours.
Mm-hmm.
So let me introduce you to the one, the only, Brother Gabriel, Otis Gabriel, and his lovely bride. Y'all say hello to us tonight.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Brother Otis.
Hi.
Good evening, Dr. Whitlow.
Well, hey, thank you so much. It's so good to hear your voices. I bet you any amount of money.
I bet you any amount of money.
Brother Chuck is here tonight.
I bet he is.
Why? Hey, Brother Chuck, how you doing?
In living color.
In living color. That's what I'm talking about.
You heard
it. I bet you I know who else is here.
Ooh.
Reverend Dr. Billy Gabriel.
You think he is?
I bet you he here.
He
sounds
here.
Hey, yes. Reverend Gabriel, how you doing, sir?
You just won some money. You just won.
Yeah. Wait. I bet you I know who's here, but they're in the background. I bet you I know they're here. I'm talking about Dr. Timmy Kim. Dr. Timmy, say hello to the people for us tonight. You are a producer. Come on, talk to us. Oh, so she want to be on mute. Oh.
Hey. I want to be in background, but it's good to be back.
Hey!
Well, it's so good to hear your voice. It's been so long. We missed you, you know.
Amen, amen.
Well, we're glad that you are here. Amen, and we're looking forward to tonight's conversation. So we invite you to join in with us tonight, and we're going to have some good talk. You know, this woman of God, Apostle Fee, she's going to share a few things tonight. And,
me, you.
Yeah. And we just gonna follow. We gonna follow her flow tonight.
Oh,
we gonna follow her flow.
Yeah.
So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna open up in prayer, and then I'm gonna yield the mic.
Okay, we're praying.
Well, I'm gonna pray. Kind Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to join together once again, that we may be a part of this podcast that everyone has come to love and appreciate. Father, we pray that you would speak through our mouths. God, let it be words of wisdom that will help people to better facilitate their marriages. Oh God, even their relationships, we pray that what we share will help them to avoid pitfalls, help them to avoid the wrong things in the name of Jesus, that they will make wiser choices in their relationship, in their marriage, that it will last longer and become stronger and most of all more meaningful. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Now bless tonight in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Just to run through up-to-date services, guys, I wish you all could have been there to witness the celebration that took place at about 11:10 a.m. this morning. It was amazing, guys, to have seen the 30 graduates. Some graduated with their bachelor's in theology and Christian counseling. Some graduated in with their master's in theology and business and then psychology and Christian counseling. I may have said it backwards, but to my head, not my heart. It was amazing to see when the graduates' names were called, how it was like we were at an NFL football game, y'all. And, I mean, it was just phenomenal. Not only because, of course, I celebrated my husband, but I got a chance to see other people celebrate their loved ones in a graduation. So big up to Dr. Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. He graduated with his master's of PhD. Excuse me. What it is? Christian counseling. What?
Doctorate of philosophy.
Doctor of philosophy and Christian counseling. So, congratulations to him. I asked him if I could sign my name as Doctor too, and he was like, "Not until you get your PhD." So that just hurt my little feelings, y'all. But be that as it may, it was so amazing how we actually had church service. It was a graduation like no other. So I just wanted to give you guys a glimpse of that, if you call it that. But tonight I want to talk about something. We have been dealing with weaving in marriage and how important weaving is. So after the weaving, does it stop or does it continue? That's the question that I have on tonight. Does the weaving stop? Does the weaving continue? Doesn't matter how long you've been married. Does it stop when you weave with each other? Or does it continue because you want the weaving to grow? It's like I can remember seeing my grandmother knit a blanket. She didn't stop when it got halfway. She continued until it became a bedspread. When she was quilting, she didn't stop to make it a new cover. She continued until it became large enough for her king-size bed. So in the weaving, does it stop or does it continue to grow? That's the question for tonight. So if anybody want to jump in and bond on that, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Brother Otis. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Dr. Irving. You deserve it. And we will be expecting you to use bigger words and say something real smart every night.
That's right, Brother Otis. Tell him.
All right. Okay, on the weaving, You said now we were, do we have different definitions for weaving based on our relationship at first, or is it just something that we do to, I guess, incentivize our partners to want to be with us and marry us? And if the weaving is like coming together, being one, joining, was we something is weaved, it makes it stronger, should make it better, or is it just a an algorithm, like a system of designs, a system that we perform just for the performance? So my answer to that, for me, the weaving, the one that I can look at, one of the definitions of becoming one, much, much closer together, if it's weaved than it was when it was loose, and make much, much stronger, then that is something that you will continue throughout the period of your marriage. And when we exchange those vows, we said, until death do us part. So that is something that we would work on each and every day. It becomes just a such a part of our everyday program as eating breakfast, lunch. And another part of that would be, you know, to make sure that our spouse is satisfied, avoid the irritants, the little behaviors, eccentricities that we practice that irritate our spouse. We should rid ourselves of those. And that would be the type of weaving that would continue throughout the marriage.
All right, all right. Who else wants to talk on that?
I respectfully disagree, because when you're weaving, sooner or later you must finish the garment, or at least come to a place where you can establish a hem. And a hem ensures that there will be no unraveling of that which you have woven. So I don't think that you can ever forget the necessity of establishing a hem. And a hem establishes a bond which will prevent that which you have woven from becoming unwoven.
Okay.
And
okay,
not,
with the, first of all,
glue.
Go ahead.
Hold on, Brother Otis. That would be, Brother Chuck, without glue. Because when you hem something, you want a secured stitch. There's a certain, when I'm sewing my lap scarf, there's a certain stitch that I have. A plain stitch or just a one-line stitch doesn't always secure it. So I do a cross in my stitching. So with weaving, we just don't do it just to pacify or simply satisfying our mate just to say that we did something that they wanted to do. We do it because they have shared with us the sentiments of their heart, and vice versa. We don't when you're married. I've heard a couple of people say, "Well, you can just pacify your spouse." I don't want to pacify Dr. Whitlow. I want to keep him, if you will, not so much as complacent, but I want to keep him wondering what else is there? Is there more to it? What's the word I'm looking for? His expectancy of it. I want to
I want to surprise him with different things. Ordinary for me just won't do. It just will not do. Go ahead, Brother Otis. Go ahead and elaborate on that one.
Yes. But what I was going to say is, first of all, you know, this is a nice call that you and your husband have put together. And I would, just for me, I would like not to have my opinion respected and not, you know, trying to tear it apart with literal definitions. We talk about weaving, which is a very unusual word to apply to a marriage. So when I give my opinion or someone else gives their opinion, I think it would be more productive if we would not disagree. Disagree puts a person on defense. But this is literal, or is it going to be metaphorical? For me, it was metaphorical, not somebody just sitting there weaving something physically together. It is a metaphor. Now, and with that, I told about my relationship and how I would do that with my spouse. And that may not apply with the same type of behaviors to anybody. And that is perfectly okay. But to categorically disagree with my opinion, I don't think that is a valid response or even responsibility of someone else. Just let us know what your opinion is about the same subject. And what you do would work. There are people doing things to the left or right 180 degrees diametrically, and it works for them. So if we can just sort of, you know, respect a person's opinion, I think we can learn more from each other instead of creating defenses and, you know, trying to belittle what someone else said because of what you do in your relationships. And we must agree, because it's the research will show you anytime you read it or just talking right now that all of our relationships are different. Not wrong, they're different.
And that is a very good point. I think the whole objective is to hear contrasting ideas. And so I don't think that Brother Chuck meant it in a derogatory manner. I think what he was saying is, I want to show you another perspective, as he has often done with his thoughts. And we appreciate the difference, because what it helps us to do, it helps us to fine-tune everything so everybody can see it, that we're ending up somehow in the same place, though we may see it differently with different perspectives. So I don't want you to feel that when he said, "I disagree," that it was directed at how you do it. I think what he was simply saying is, I want to show you a different elaboration on the thought. So please receive that, man of God. Please receive that. Because I think to myself, on one end, weaving needs to continue. But then, at some point, because you mature in your life, you mature in your relationships, what might have worked at the beginning of your marriage may not work after 4 years or after 15 years. So you might have to make some adjustments. So I think where he was coming from, which makes sense, is when he was talking about the hem. At least with a hem, we can unhem it and rehem it so that it is still weaving, but we're working at what is working at that moment and at that time. So again, please understand that perspective. Please understand that perspective. All right.
Yes,
Billy,
I,
yes, sir.
I do. I do understand that perspective very, very well. But the perspective can be delivered without, you know, trying to belittle or degrade my opinion. And the difference is that, okay, that's good. Now, here's what I think about the same, on the same question or the same thing, because we are really speaking metaphorically. This is my metaphor. And you don't have to disagree with my metaphor in order to speak yours. And that term, I disagree, is a statement which also means you are wrong and I am right. And here's the right way of doing that. So if we, for me, if you could just give me your opinion without trying to belittle mine, I would appreciate it. And just tell me yours.
I definitely understand that, sir. I definitely understand that, because sometimes I feel that even when I share a thought, sometimes it can come across that maybe my my opinion or my thought is superior or something.
Right.
And so, you know, so we don't, but in this discussion, we don't want to misconstrue anyone's thought process, because we need each and every one of us to get a better understanding. So we want to better value how we say it, if you will. My wife and I often say these words to each other: it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And so I understand where you're coming from. And again, I don't really believe that it was meant to be harmful. I don't believe that it was meant to be harmful. I'm not speaking for the man, because he's of age, he can speak for himself. But just as the host, I don't believe it was meant to be harmful or derogatory. I just believe it was his way of saying, well, maybe perhaps his words should have been, let me show you another view or another perspective, not so much I disagree. So I'm going to leave that right there. Yes,
okay.
Apostle
P. Yeah, I can leave it there. But as we all know in counseling, there is something called intent versus impact. The intent, when I was going to go over here and get myself a glass of water, my intent was to do that, and I stepped on my wife's toe. The impact was, now she has a broken toe, so I should be more careful how I travel when I do that. So the intent may have been calm, nice, designed to be what you call constructive criticism, but the impact of something just semantics, when you're talking allegories, does not, I mean, that is not congruent. It is incongruent to, if we were talking about something literal, something real, like, how do you fix a transmission? But just talking about something and said that I have love in my heart, you can't disagree with that. You know, just tell how you feel about the same thing. But I take it as an insult, especially in a conversation like this when we're speaking allegories and metaphors and not literal. Just to have something with semantics, we can have semantical arguments about any word you speak. So let's just kind of share our opinions without trying to destroy the opinions of other people. For me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. I apologize. My response may have been offensive. I do apologize. When we come on here and we're talking about weaving, I believe, and I'll say it again, I believe that each marriage is totally different from my marriage, and vice versa. What works for one person will not and does not work for the other.
Weaving again to me means that we're working together. When we go left together. It's not about one going left and one going right. Either way, we all look at it. And I just want you guys to hear my heart for a moment. When we look at it, I might go right, I may go left. The whole point is we're coming back to the center. We don't have arguments. We have testimony service. We have testimony. What's our terminology for what we
heated
do?
Testimony.
We have heated testimony service. Is when Dr. Whitlow pours out matters of the heart, and then I pour out matters of the heart. At the end of the day, we come together. And we think things through. I'm not always right. He's not always right, whether he wants to admit it or not. He's not always right. Again, the point is that we come to the middle and we come to an agreement. In weaving, even if there is an if the weaving is not tightened, if the weaving is not the same stitch, you're going to have to go back through it. You will have to go back through it. I believe that in order for me to have a godly marriage and a successful marriage, I can't always want things my way. I've got to weave in an opposite direction that is very uncomfortable for me. As I'm having this conversation with you all, I'm looking at a bedspread that we have on our bed. And the weaving of it, the stitching of it is so beautiful that if there was a stitch out of order, we wouldn't be able to tell. The person that made it would be able to tell, but we wouldn't. So again, I said all that to say this. At the end of the day, our heated testimonies, once we pray and we can be joined back together, the weaving does not stop. It continues. One mistake does not end the weaving unless you want it to. Weaving takes two, not one. It takes four hands, not two. It takes two human beings, two willing human beings, to weave together. As most of our vows said, to death do us part, for rich or for poor, for sickness and in health. All of that is included in that weaving. Every stitch you see in your marriage, those vows are included. You can't take one without the other. You can't take the other without one left out. I'm learning this all over again. So everybody's opinion, to me, it matters. It matters. It really does. It is never my intention to come on here and belittle anyone or make anybody feel that their opinion does not matter. That's not my intention. Will never be. Will never be. I do come off aggressively. I do. But at the end of the day, I'm the most loving and caring person that you will ever meet. So, back to the conversation. Does our weaving stop once we've been married for 20 years or even 30 years? Does the weaving stop or does it continue going? Suppose I stop weaving. Does my husband continue weaving? That's the question. That's my second question to you guys. So if someone wouldn't mind answering that question, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay, in my time, this is, okay, it's the weaving. And I'm thinking about the very scripture which is based on, but and Genesis 2:24. It tells us that the word, they use the word cleaving, which rhymes with weaving. And cleaving in itself is It's I think of the Hebrew word, which actually means to cling, to hold, or keep real close, uptight. And he is to leave his family and cleave to his wife. And anything and everything, and they, even though they are two people, as a couple, they come together as one. And this marriage thing, they are cleaving to one another, and they become one, and it and everything that takes place is being woven or weaved, because all too often it goes together in agreement with one another, helping one another to make this marriage work. And all too often it comes in this little area, so many areas, as it pertains to the man and the couple. And out there, I just saw one of my books I had, just that word, that the acronym of COUPLE, COUPLE. And I saw that, and I thought it would be good to share in a way that includes weaving, that includes a certain type of closeness whereby you can grow together. And at first letter, I'll just do it, be very brief, that the C in COUPLE is how to speak. It's that she wants to be close to each other. You're just being close and not afraid to share things. Being close and being very interested in about all your moves. And openness, the O. To be open to one another, to be able to talk to one another. That's another stitch of weaving, I might say, if I will put it that way. Whereby you'll be able to feel free to open up and share when you think one of you have been offended or disrespected, whatever the case might be. And as the Bible tells in 2 Peter, I believe it was, like in the U, it's a matter of understanding one another. I turn to that scripture in the Bible. He tells us to come together in understanding. That's what he's saying to the man, understanding the woman. It kind of reminds me of a little book I have. It's a small book. It has a picture of a pretty woman with a suitcase on, a little handbag, and the title of the book is what every man knows and understands about a woman. And you open up the book, all the pages are blank because it's indicating that we can never really, really understand the woman. Because the Bible says they were created man and woman. And that which says a lot right there, just man and woman, which means they are two different people. We are wired different. And that comes to where we try to understand each other only if we become close and open and then be able to do, be able to say you're sorry, keep in peace and the air of another weaving of the loyalty, and then esteem. And that's it's just so many little things. But being aware that this weaving, in my opinion, continues. It does not stop because, as I think it was just mentioned, that those of us who have performed the marriages, you take that oath, it says, until death do we part. And it's a continuation. It does not stop until we are stopped. So I believe it continues, and the more we learn to understand each other, get closer to understand it, I think it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And that's the way love goes. I'm finished.
Let me just say this briefly and quickly without too much ado. I don't think that you can weave two items together, two strings together. I don't believe, using the term weave, that you can weave two strings or two items together. In order to weave, there must be a third element. And I dropped the mic.
What is that third element?
What is the third element?
I believe in the words of Brother Chuck,
the third element is Jesus Christ himself, because you need the third strand to make the weave work. Even when you do a braid is not made with two strands of hair. It has to be, a twist can be done with two strands, but a braid has to take three strands to become weaved as one piece. And so therefore, with it the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So if it takes the man, it takes the woman, and it takes the Lord. And as we follow the Lord's guide, it becomes easy to weave as opposed to doing it on our own and end up being twisted.
To God be the glory. Thank you for expounding on my explanation.
Yes.
So I'm reminded, I'm so happy that Brother Chuck and Dr. Whitlow brought that up. I would say I was a hairstylist by trade when I was younger in my 20s. That's how I made money to take care of my children sometimes. And as a braider, I would often be asked, why did I braid using three pieces of hair? So again, braiding can be four strands or three strands, never two. You get when you're using two strands of hair, you get a twist. The young lady that I'm seeing, I don't know what this they call this. This is off subject a little bit. They call it a tree braid. And with the tree braid, it looks to me like it's about four or five different strands of hair. But in reality, it's really three because you're adding two. So in your weaving, you're keeping God in the center of the weaving, realizing and understanding that you cannot weave alone. You cannot weave with just you two pieces. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and add a third person. That's not God. That ain't what Apostle C said. I didn't say that, and I need the best to be on the record. What I am saying is that when you have God first, the husband and the wife, he will teach you. I was about to say he will learn you, but he will teach you how to weave together. I don't ever want to go left and leave my husband going right, because I'm his helpmeet. He's the head, but I'm the neck. Sometimes I can turn the head, sometimes I can't. But when he weaves and goes right, I have to go right.
There is a third party involved in that combination. It's you, your other partner, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit becomes the third party.
This is so true. We've got to keep not just our marriages, but to me, any type of relationship that I involve myself in, if it's an ungodly relationship, I depart. I disconnect. And that's just me personally. Only because that weaving can become stressful. That weaving can become heartbreaking. That weaving can also destroy. So if it's not godly, I won't involve myself with that. So now, if the weaving continues, even though you've been married for 20 years, 30 years, and I think I can hold on that long. I think I'm a keeper. I want to be kept. Oh.
Can you? This is Chuck again. Can you really weave two strands of hair? Can you really weave two of anything? Doesn't weaving require a third element?
I'm only speaking for me. I can't do two. Because the Holy Ghost leads and guides me. He leads and he guides me because I have accepted him into my life. And so has Dr. Whitlow. Dr. Whitlow has accepted God as his Lord and Savior, as I have. Without God, we are nothing. We're just, as a matter of fact, I've heard somebody say they're a dead man walking. Most people may not agree with that.
That is my point exactly. When I say weaving, I'm saying that there must be three elements in for it to weave. I'm maintaining that you cannot weave two elements. You can twist them together, but weaving then, I think, requires that third element.
What was the definition Brother Shaw? What was the definition of weaving that you gave us 2 weeks ago?
Weaving is defined as to frequently change direction while moving forward, especially to avoid things that could stop you, to make by intertwining, to produce by elaborately combining elements, to unite in a coherent whole.
Okay, now, what does the word, because I've just seen it, what does intertwining mean? What's the definition of intertwining?
In nutshell, mixing together.
What are you mixing together?
Well, probably in the case of marriage, you want to mix your spit together.
No. No.
Yeah. No. Here's what I mean. I mean you're intertwining your faith. You're intertwining your prayer life. You're intertwining or mixing your ideologies, your education, your experiences, your upbringings, things of that magnitude. That which makes you who you are. You're intertwining that with that which makes him who he is, or vice versa. You're sharing those things, but you do it under the direction of the Spirit of the Lord, who leads us and guides us into all truth. And truth is consistency. So the only way your marriage can be consistent is it has to be based upon the truth of who you are. You can't become something for someone just because that's what they want you to become.
Why not?
Because what'll happen is they'll get tired of becoming what you want them to become, and they'll go back to being who they really are, and you might not like it. Although we talked about, although we have being coachable, in being coachable, it's always about being adaptable or adjustable. You have to be able to adjust, even if it's just for the moment.
So what am I?
Whatever may be necessary.
I maintain that you cannot weave two items together.
Right.
You can twist them together, you can tie them together, but I say in order to weave them together, there must be a third element.
Absolutely. I concur.
Was there someone else about?
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. So let me ask this question. While we're
okay.
All right. So when we're intertwining, we're not interwining. Understand the difference. We're not whining. We're intertwining. There's going to be some times in your marriage when you don't want to do things that you that your spouse requires of you. So what do you do? Are you going to stop weaving? Or are you going to stop weaving?
Well, if you, in my estimation, if you're not going to do something that your spouse may want you to do, mm-hmm. it may cause some tension on what has already been established, and that tension could create a weakening of the bond that already exists. And again, I really believe that the purpose that God created marriage is for mutual, let me say again, mutual satisfaction. So in order to have mutuality, there has to be some kind of compromise. Oh, you better talk, Dr. Whitlow. Hallelujah. In order to have mutuality, there has to be compromise.
There has to be compromise, or there must be some similarities. I don't believe you can weave a rope and a chain. I mean, you may put them together, but there's the diversity. There must be some similarities and some commonality in things to come together and form a bond of strength.
Now, I was just about to say that, Brother Chuck. There has to be some strength in that weaving, because most people would think that that rope is stronger than the chain. Actually, the chain is stronger than the rope in reality, because one thing about it, the chain is uneasily broken. You would have to saw it apart. With the rope, you can burn it. You can't burn that chain.
Lord have mercy.
No. I'm thinking outside the box.
No, you're thinking what inside of the box. Work it out, sister.
I need somebody to tell me, what can break a chain?
Pull on a chain hard enough with the right tools, or you'll break it.
But will that link come apart?
Sure.
That's right. Wait a minute. You won't break the chain. You will just break a link in the chain.
What? Well, if the link is broken, then the chain breaks.
Nope.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Oh, you got two pieces of the chain now.
I hear you, Reverend Billy.
Go ahead, Reverend Billy. Let's talk about it.
No, it seemed that somehow we seem to be getting way off the meaning are weaving in the marriages. Now we're going from the metaphor, now we're going into the actual, the real thing, the actuality. I was thinking in terms of the weaving in marriage is the fact that as a couple getting married, are married, and they are to, as the Bible says, to cleave to one another, and they have become one flesh, okay? As I just said a little earlier, they are one flesh, but very different in nature, with different opinions and different whims. And stuff. One is a male and female. As a matter of fact, even during the hospitals and birth, when there's a girl, they present pink, and when there is a male, he has blue, and those were two different. Items, and one's going to think one way, and one's going to think the other way. And when they come together, and that's what I was saying a little earlier, where you have to take that closeness, openness, understanding. All these things are woven together to make this marriage work, and it's a continuance in these. And understanding the difference in each other, and those differences that come from compromising. Sometimes men completely misunderstand the language of the women, and vice versa. Sometimes we oftentimes speak in code to one another. You oftentimes hear that when the woman might try to express something, and the male will hear something different. And that is how we say, the woman may say one thing one way, and the man with his blue hearing aid, I just pink hearing aid versus blue hearing aid, you might say, he will hear something very different. And just for that example, let me just think about this. on Sunday morning, when you're on Sunday mornings or whatever day, and you're going out together, the lady was looking at the closet, and she'll say, "Oh my goodness, I don't have nothing to wear." But what she really means is that not that she don't have anything to wear, but what she means, she don't have nothing new. Whereas the male, when he look in that closet and put on his look for something to put on, he might say the same thing, but what he probably more like it means he don't have anything clean. It's just a matter of understanding the language of the male and the female, wherever I can come to. Understanding with each other and open up with each other when there's a misunderstanding. And we said a little earlier, just compromise and come together and let's work this language thing out. What can we do to keep this weaving, to keep this relationship going? Because all too often we misunderstand what each of us saying and what each other might mean. And something like that. I have seen another case. I know of another case. Let's say, for example, I'll just use the two of you two together. Mr. Whitlow, Whitlow, he's up there trying to work on his computer, whatever case might be. And you are in the room with your radio playing, and somehow he cannot concentrate on what he is doing, and he might want you to turn the radio down. He might yell in the room at you and say, "Are you listening to that?" And then you don't answer right away, and he'll yell again two more times, "Are you listening to that?" And you might say, "I'm trying to, but you keep yelling a little loud." And what there's a misunderstanding, you may not be listening to the radio, and he think you there's something on the radio. You might think he's got something on the radio you ought to be listening to. And that's all together, because that's why she couldn't hear me, because she tried to find out what he's talking about, because initially you're not listening, and that's a miscommunication. It's just so many little variables here in the understanding and most of all our communication. All these are areas of weaving, of cleaning. That's the way I see it. Communication, understanding, closeness, and loyalty, and the esteem of the other. As a matter of fact, let's see, I think I wrote something down this afternoon. Where is it, Doug? I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Because Peter, he was telling us how we should respect a woman as a weaker vessel. And sometimes we misunderstand that one. By thinking she's supposed to be subservient. But that's not the case. But anyway, there's so many little things that are in so many needles, as I say, whatever that little tool that you call for weaving. There's so many of those that take place to put these things together. But the bottom line, I'm asking the first question. My answer is, it does not cease. It continues. That's my sole cold-hearted opinion. It continues. It does not stop. I'm finished.
So the weaving, so that I can understand what you said, continues. It does not stop. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was my answer to the question. It does not stop.
Okay. All right. Well, in conclusion to tonight's topic, does the weaving stop or does it continue? I want to personally thank each and every one of you for joining on tonight with Making Marriage Meaningful with the one and only Dr. Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. and Apostle C. Next week, next Saturday, I want you guys to do me a favor if you can, if you will. Please, sir, please, ma'am. Invite somebody on the call. Invite them. Post it on your Facebook page to join in with Making Marriage Meaningful. What we want to do is start recognizing the new callers when they call. We want them to
to share with us their experiences as well. If they're engaged, if they're seeking to be married, even if they're going through a divorce, we want to make a great impact on some couples. As you guys know, of course, we're newly married. We're still in our newlywed stages. I'm telling y'all, we have some heated testimonies. And half of the time the heated testimonies come from me. I be heated. Oh my gosh, sir, be nice. So, I want to get some other people on here. And again, guys, I personally thank you for taking out your hour on a Saturday. You could be doing anything else than jumping on our call every Saturday with Making Meaningful. I really, really, we do. We appreciate you. I'm happy that I'm now a co-host to the show. I'm on all of my social media outlets. Also going to advertise for Elations Radio. You know, you never know who we might meet. We might meet another millionaire. You know, Brother Chuck, he got some connections. I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow. But he a millionaire today. So with that being said, we're going to allow Dr. Irvin Whitlow to close us out this evening.
Well, we thank you, Apostle Fee, for taking the lead on tonight's discussion. You are definitely appreciated, and we honor you in every possible way. And we love you, and you can't do a thing about it. We just simply say, if you don't love us back, please don't die anytime soon. It wouldn't be a good idea. To the rest of you, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you sharing with us tonight. We appreciate what the Lord is doing and saying through this podcast. It is the favorite podcast of people, and we're grateful for that. Listen, we say this all the time. And we mean it because it means so much. Your marriage will be meaningless until your mate
becomes meaningful.
Don't forget that. All right? So until next time, we say the Lord go with you, or rather go with God, and he will.
Go with you.
There you go. We say goodnight. Shalom, shalom. Dr. Kimmy,
shalom.
Drop that.
Shalom, shalom.